Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, welcome to a special episode, actually the last episode of Gamertag Radio.
It is? We're never doing this again?
For this year. Can you let me finish? It's for this year, 2023.
The way you said it, I thought this is it.
2023.
I was going to go out with a bang. I was gonna be like, cuss out everybody.
That's all good. Everyone, welcome here. And yeah, we're going to be talking about our top five favorite games of the year, and this is going to be a great conversation with the whole team and everything, and maybe we'll talk about like any disappointment or underrated games that came out this year. Probably we'll talk about it and stuff. But so right here we have the one and only Paris Lilly. How you doing, Paris?
Hey, good. Actually, it's still morning, so good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Yeah, good. And also joining us here from his long tour, he's always everywhere around the world, Peter
I'm
Toledo.
I'm probably still on tour.
Yeah, you probably are.
I don't know it yet. What's up, bro?
Is there somewhere that you plan to be next in the future that you haven't been? Because it's like you've been everywhere, so I don't know how to...
That I haven't been? Let's see. Yeah. Just came back from Thailand, Dubai, and then my birthday trip. Actually, me and my wife's birthday trips. The Dolomites in Italy.
Oh.
And then Cabo, Mexico at the end of the year.
Nice.
That's all I know for now. I'm sure others will pop up. But those are
the Wait, when you going to Cabo?
Probably two to three times potentially next year.
Oh, snap.
Hey, let your boy know.
Yo, you got to tell us in advance. We probably could go there and meet up.
Yeah. Hey, Cabo ain't nothing but a thing. That's a 2-hour plane.
That's a quick flight. Yeah. But,
We'll talk.
Okay. All right.
Nope. Baby going to be 1 year. Nope. You ain't traveling nowhere, bro.
Hey, notice I didn't include Danny. Yeah. I said let me
no,
know.
No. He's about to be a dad. Baby's going to be traveling with us everywhere.
Yeah, you saying okay. that now.
Y'all heard that.
We'll see.
Management has not approved those travels, bro.
All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. And we're there. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also post your review. Also, we're going to be continuing to post polls here. So if you guys are listening on Spotify, make sure to go over there and be part of the poll questions, our weekly poll. So, if you would like to be part of our FAML edition, FAML segment, make sure to hit us up. And here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so guys, we're going to be taking a couple of weeks off, and we'll be back early January with a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. And that's going to be our 19th year doing this. So we'll be back. You just need some time off. And make sure to hit us up on social media. We'll be out there to engage with you guys, man. So except for Pete, because Pete's always traveling. He don't care about nobody when he travels. He just sends us pictures like, hey, this is a nice hotel where I'm at. just to tease us, you know? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Facts.
Okay. Yeah. Facts, facts. All right. So first, I want to talk to you guys. Like, this year has been very interesting. Like, this year has been, like, the greatest year for gamers, but the worst for the industry. You know, this year, and I'm going to start with the bad. This year, we've been seeing a lot of layoffs from a lot of companies. Actually, even from late last year, started with just media, and now I've been seeing more and more studios, you know, getting laid off. And it's just, it's a very difficult time, especially now during, like, the end of the year. You still see these type of bad news right closer to the holidays, too. And it's just like, man, a lot of studios and publishers are, you know, are selling a lot of, you know, games and all that, but still layoffs, man. So I just want to get your thoughts overall from you guys of, like, you know, the good and the bad about 2023. You want to start, Paris? I know we had this conversation before on previous episodes, I believe. So.
I mean, you know, we're recording this right as we're finding out that there's a bunch of layoffs happening at Bungie. And, you know, it is definitely more personal for me because I know a lot of these people and I've met them, and just it sucks. It just absolutely sucks. And I think it just encapsulates what's been happening this year just across tech, period. But obviously this is a gaming podcast, so we've seen multiple studios have mass layoffs. Xbox as an example, Microsoft as a whole, mass layoffs, PlayStation now, mass layoffs. Just, you, like, everybody's doing it. It's not a shock. But I think even worse is you're seeing studios that have taken risks with new IPs, and those games have not sold. This is why I was, like, all weird about Alan Wake leading up to that, where they've taken a risk with a new IP and then the game does not sell as well as projected. And what instantly happens? Mass layoffs or just studio closure, period. And that, to me, is even scarier for the long-term health of the industry. You know, layoffs are awful regardless, but it will lead to less risk being taken. We won't see as many new IPs. We're going to see more sequels. We're going to get the same old stuff, mm-hmm. right? I mean, 2023 from a gamer standpoint is easily top three all time. Easily. I think that a lot of that has to do with, you know, the pandemic, mass delays. I think a lot of games got dumped into 2023 as a result. And this is what we're getting. Just so many awesome games that have come out throughout this entire year, which is great if you're a gamer. But, you know, being just completely transparent, you know, we have relationships that goes beyond just gaming, right? Just being a gamer, where we know a lot of these people that make these games at these development studios, at the publisher level, the marketing, PR, etc. And to see these layoffs, it just takes away the fun. Like, I can't be as excited as I want to be.
Yeah.
And that sucks, mm-hmm. because you want to be excited, but then you think, oh man, ugh. You know, it's just, as great as this year is, it's still a bummer at the same time. And I believe it was Rami tweeted it out. He said it perfectly. You know, it's the greatest year and the worst year at the same time, or something to that effect that he said. And, you know, he's a developer. So, you know, he's seen this. He's seeing his colleagues getting laid off left and right. And it's hard to be, you know, super excited. Like, you know, we talk game of the year and all that stuff. Sure. Great. You know, go to the Game Awards this year. Great. You know, you get to see people. All that stuff is great. But then in the back of your head, how many people have been affected by all these layoffs? It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope next year it's going to be a lot better, man. I just hope so, man, because this year has been really, really tough when it comes to that, man. What about you, Pete?
I definitely bittersweet, right? I mean, it's become commonplace, unfortunately, over the past few years to see studios succeed, developers succeed for the most part. As a result, publishers succeed, right? Because it always goes upwards. Right, because it's all the hard work from all the people that are doing the hard work, right? Whether it goes from QA, which is absolutely a job, a thankless job for that matter, all the way up to the developers, to marketing, PR, right? Them fighting leaks on a daily basis, you know, that whole thing is not fun. And then you see how well this year has been received from a pure gaming perspective, right? Just as a gamer, right? Take the podcast away, take all the blue check marks on Twitter and all of the things that we've been fortunate enough to have, some of us. But look at all of the good we've gotten, and then look at all of the bad stuff that is basically cast a dark shadow on what should be, for the most part, considered probably the best year in gaming for the people that are listening to the show, probably since they've been gaming, right? For us old foot, almost went to the bad word there. for us old folks, right? Me, Butthead Fitty. Yeah, man, it's bittersweet. That's probably the best way to describe it. What should be the best year in gaming for most is overshadowed overshadowed by the loss of employment. From this is probably the darkest age in gaming, right? When you consider all the layoffs, companies merging, acquisitions, people being promised the best, and as is wont to do, especially towards the end of the year in tech, everybody gets the boot. So it definitely could be better. I wish there was a better way to go about it. I wish there was an answer for it. Unfortunately, I don't have it. Right. So, there's both the good and the bad.
I hope everything changes next year, man, because waking up and seeing these news almost every morning, weekly, is just, I don't know, man. But yeah, so I know we have a lot of gamers that are very excited about this past year. So many games. And let me tell you, this must be the most difficult time to debate which game has been the best of the year. So yeah, there's so many great, great games that have been coming out. There's, of course, a couple of disappointments that they came out this year, and also probably a couple of underrated games, man. So we're going to talk about our top five. But first, let's start with the most disappointing game of this year. For me, I was very, very excited for this game because I love, games like Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood, games like that, four-player co-op experience, right? Redfall, man, that game was a struggle, man. We got to play it a few months back during the preview event, and I got excited because I was like, it's a couple bugs. Maybe, it'll get fixed. But once I got the game at home, man, I got stuck in a mission, and it wasn't because of the difficulty. It was because of the bugs. The bugs made it really, really difficult for me to even complete the game. I still, to this day, haven't finished that game at all. Plus, Eric, the controversy of the publisher and promoting the game as a 60 FPS, but then console is 30, but they never mentioned any of that until what, a week before or so. Red flags all over the place, and just characters. It was like a lot of things that I just didn't like about the game, and I was so excited since they announced it a couple years back, man. So this is my disappointing game of this year. Pete, what about yours, man? Most disappointing game.
I think the popular call is going to be Redfall, because there was a lot of hype coming out of obviously the Bethesda merger. But for me, it's going to be Gollum.
Oh, Gollum. That was Gollum pretty bad one.
It was literally the used car salesman gig, right? Like, you go in there, you look at all the specs, you see the pictures online, and it looks like you got the deal of the century. Then you get hooked in, and you drive off the lot, and all the wheels fall off. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it felt that game. And so I would say Gollum. It was a disappointment, especially considering all the marketing, all the videos, et cetera, that they showed, and then it just pooped the bed. So,
oof. All right. What about you, Paris? Was there any disappointing games for you?
I mean, you already said it was Redfall. Just for what the potential of what we thought that game was going to be, and it just fell flat. I mean, yeah, they came out with an update here a couple weeks ago, but it's still not anywhere near what that game should be right now. So yeah, I mean, that's a huge disappointment on the AAA ladder. I would say second to that would probably be Forspoken. Not that that was a game that I was necessarily anticipating, but again, you think about just the studio that was making it, some of the people behind it that was developing, writing for it. Shout out to Gary Whitta. He actually contributed to it as well. Mm-hmm. It just fell flat. It just did. Mm-hmm. So I would say those were probably my two biggest disappointments.
All right. Now, and I agree with you. Forspoken, I totally forgot about that one. That was very, very disappointing too. So, all right. So honorable mentions, because look, this is a tough one, man. Oof, tough one. My top five is very interesting, but I'll mention to you guys my honorable mentions for 2023. First one, Starfield. Love the game. I have, oh my God, what, close to 200 hours in that game? Great game. Loved it. But the amount of content that's been coming out this year, the amount of games, it couldn't be up there with my top five, man, because there was so many good ones out there, man. So, but Starfield, honorable mention. Love that game a lot. Also, another one, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. It's another one that I truly, truly love. Have a lot of hours in that one. Great, great game for the Switch. Again, another honorable mention for me. And also, another game that I was very, very hyped. Went to the event, the launch event of that one with Paris and a couple of the people. So Rihanna came with me too. It was a lot of fun. That was Diablo 4. Man, what a game. Great game. But still, not in my top five, but still my list of honorable mentions. Now, Paris, for you, what are your honorable mentions for 2023?
Ooh, honorable mention for 2023. Let's put it this way. How many are we saying are like Game of the Year category?
It was the Game of the Year is top five. It's always been like that for us. Top five.
Okay, so we have a top five and then honorable mention.
Yes.
Okay. Honorable mention, Starfield would be right there. I think it's just outside the top five for me. So Starfield would definitely be one. I'm gonna take you more of an indie route with my next two.
I know where you're
Planet going. Planet. well, I think the other one might be, but Planet of Lana.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh my God, I just love that game.
That's a
love
good that one. Game. That's a good one. Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. And then Cocoon would be another one. I just recently completed that. Just absolutely love that. Fantastic experience. Beyond that, because again, it's just not my thing, but I get the hype over it. Diablo 4.
Okay.
It's just not my thing, though, but I understand people love it, the whole thing. I'm going to also say Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. If that game would have come out this year, like if Cyberpunk 2077 with the update 2.0 and Phantom Liberty dropped this year, it'd be in the top five for sure. Mm. For sure. Mm. Absolutely loved it. But I would probably say those are my honorable mention. And the top five, I think that's pretty easy to figure out.
All right. What about you, Pete? Honorable mentions.
I want to preface this by saying.
Oh, sorry. I have one more.
Wow. He just cut you off.
Yeah, I know. I'm apologizing.
Y'all mentions don't mean nothing.
Yeah. High Five Rush is also honorable mention for me.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry.
I'm going to preface this by saying Spider-Man 2 and Horizon Call of the Mountain are not in any of my honorable mentions or game of the years because I don't have a PlayStation 5. So
sucks for you.
And that's why I'm saying it now, because I don't want to throw either one of them in there and then it's not happening, and I don't have it, right?
Maybe instead of you traveling to Bucharest, you should go get a PlayStation 5 these games.
Hey, I ain't go to Bucharest. I'm going to Turkey.
You could take it with you now, the PlayStation Slim. PlayStation 5 Slim.
That's like that. I got to buy an extra seat just for them things. Being said, honorable mention for me, starting off Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, like you, Danny. Great game.
What?
But in comparison to the other games, for me personally, it's in my honorable mentions. Starfield.
Can I throw a penalty flag on that?
No, because it's not your choice. It's my choice.
What is your beef, Paris? Nobody said anything about your game.
It's my honorable mentions. And honestly, Paris didn't say one of the games I thought he was going to say for honorable mentions. Starfield is my second. Could have been on there, but we actually talked about this a couple of shows ago when all three of us were on. I think it was just me and you, Paris. That Starfield, for all its enjoyable moments, was basically, if this would have been like last year, I guess kind of like using your reference, Paris, if it had launched last year, it would have become a Game of the Year contender. Lies of P. I love me a good, frustrating, throw your Steam Deck at the wall moment, and Lies of P did not fail in that. Hi-Fi Rush is another one for me. Honorable mention. And the last one for me is a game that I was looking forward to last year when it was initially announced. Warhammer 40K Boltgun. It's kind of like an 8-bit version, kind of like a Doom, old school Doom version, but set in the world of Warhammer. For me, that was a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah, so now we're going to talk about our top five games of the year. So we're going to start with number five. Number five for me, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. One of the best Star Wars games I have ever played. Best story, best acting, crazy twist, which is also happened in the previous game too. And Respawn just been on point with just not only making Star Wars, but all their games. Also, like, you know, Apex Legends have been updating that, you know, this year. And I just love that, you know, out of all games that have been coming out from EA, nothing is close to Star Wars, man, from EA. So very excited to see the future games of from Respawn. And yeah, it was just a great experience playing it and just attending the event this year. You know, they had a really, really pretty good demo. I think it was like 4, maybe up to 5 hours long. And there were the studio were like, hey, feel free to do whatever you want. Just enjoy it. And once I got home and I played too, man, I couldn't stop playing it, man. Nonstop, man. So great, great game. Star Wars Jedi Survivor. All right, Pete, you're number five.
Dead Space Remastered. Love me, Dead Space. I've been a massive fan of this game since 2007. Shout out to Glenn Schofield and the whole Visceral Games team for launching this back in the day. One of the first events that I begged Danny that I wanted to be a part of the coverage for it. Mm-hmm. Take into consideration everything that they did from rebuilding the game from scratch and delivering a game 15 years old in 2023 and looking and playing like a 2023 video game. Plus, whenever you get a chance to troll Ka, or whenever you get a chance to troll Paris,
yeah,
it gets extra bonus points. So for me, number five game of the year, Dead Space Remastered.
Yeah, that you know, I even forgot to mention that in Monorail mention. I'm telling you, it's been a crazy year. Great, great game.
And there's games that I know that are not in any of these lists that it's like, damn, it was just such a good year of gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing, like this game is even scarier than the original game, which is odd to even think about that, you know. But great job on that one, man. Paris, what about you, man? Numero cinco.
So you reminded me of Jedi Survivor. That is also in my honorable mention list,
okay,
as well. But my number five, and again, I want to be crystal clear, I'm only going to list games that I have played, not what people are super excited about or what will ultimately probably be on Game of the Year list. So with that said, Baldur's Gate 3 will not be on any of my lists because I have not played Baldur's Gate 3. So I cannot comment on it at all. So my number five is Spider-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
From Insomniac. It is just a continuation of one of the best comic book superhero franchises in gaming right now, without a shadow of a doubt. I love the story. I think the performances were fantastic. I think some of the additions, like the web wings, the way you're traversing through that open world, were great. There were definitely some heartfelt moments in there as well. And the voice actor for Kraven and Tony Todd as Venom just absolutely knocked it out of the park, I felt. Obviously, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but I loved it. And I would just simply say, putting on that symbiote suit with Peter, just some of the best. Like, I find the fighting in it, and I said this during the review, but I find the fighting almost like a dance, right? It's like choreography. And when you just get those combinations down, man, it is just so fun to do. Absolutely loved it. So that'd be my number five, would be Spider-Man 2. And yes, there are some bugs in the game. Oh, well. Get over it.
All these games.
Every game. Yes.
All these games.
Because ironically enough, Jedi Survivor, it was the same thing. It had some bugs early on, too.
Yeah.
You know, and they worked on it and fixed it. It is what it is. Not to derail from this, but I just thought all that was nonsense that we saw the past few weeks.
Every game's going to have a bug, you know, nowadays. But, Paris, I agree with you, man. That's my number four is Spider-Man 2. My God, one of the greatest intros I've seen in any game. Yo, my God, so good. That one was good. I just love the fast travel, the new wings in there too. The story overall is top notch. And plus the amount of content, because now they added new boroughs there. You could go to Queens, Brooklyn. There's so many things to do. A lot of Easter eggs. One thing that I need to figure out is, where is the Insomniac building? I haven't figured it out. I don't know if you have, Paris.
I haven't. I've seen people on social media posting it. I was like, oh, man, I got to jump back in and go find that.
Yeah, I'm going to figure it out. I wonder if it's in Manhattan or somewhere else. But, yeah, it's an amazing game. I think this is by far PlayStation's first-party best game that they released in a very long time. So, man. So, yeah, Spider-Man 2 is my number four. All right, Paris. Well, actually, I just mentioned Pete. Now. Let's go with Pete. Pete, let's go with your number four. What is your number four?
Number four, we're just gonna keep it a buck. Diablo 4.
Ooh, okay.
For me. It's no secret. I have been a Diablo fan for years. And honestly, Blizzard delivered. It's exactly what I was looking for. Coupled with the fact that I was able to play it on my Switch, made life a lot easier, especially because I was traveling during the launch. Mm-hmm. And there were some issues, especially how they nerfed the living F out of the wizard and continue to make life ruinous for sorcerers around the world. I plugged on. I continued. But yeah, the story was great. Graphics were amazing, regardless of the platform you played on. I played on PC as well as the Switch and loved the performance. Nary an issue, with the exception of them nerfing my Sork. But introduction of Rogue was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what Season 2 is going to be all about. So for me, Game of the Year number four, Diablo 4.
All right. What about you, Paris? Number four.
My number four is Sea of Stars. It is a JRPG. I believe it's Devolver Digital. I could be off on that. But JRPG, it is fantastic. And I've not been the hugest JRPG person, just that type, but I really love this one. It was a lot of fun to play. Really got into it. I'm pretty sure this is on Game Pass too. I think you can grab it off of there if you want, but this one connected with me. I thought it was a fantastic experience, and it was almost like a palate cleanser because I played this coming off of Starfield and loved it. Mm. Absolutely loved it. So yeah, this would be my number four.
Man, I've been hearing so many great things about that game. I got to check it out.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You do.
And I love
that. That's right. Matt, because, you know, I was teasing what might think my game of the year stuff was going to be. And I kept putting Sea of Stars on there and people were like, you can't put that on there. But I'm like, look, it's my list.
Exactly.
I will put whatever I want.
Exactly. All right. So now we're number three, man, this game, I've been waiting for this game for so long, man. So long. And when I finally got this game from Nintendo, oh my God, I felt like a kid again. And I'm gonna go with this, man. This is by far the best 2D Mario game since maybe Super Mario World. Before that, Super Mario 3. 3, I think, is the best out of everybody just because of the difficulty and everything like that. But, man, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, what a fantastic game from Nintendo. I know there's Super Mario RPG and all this stuff, but it's just, this game is so unique and so different. It still has like the same elements of the old previous Mario Brothers games and everything, but just the new badges, the special effects, the music, everything has been just amazing playing that. It's been a great, great experience playing Super Mario Brothers Wonder, man. So if you have a Nintendo Switch, this is a must have to get, man. So that's my number three. Pete, what is your number three?
Number three is, I think, I know what your number one is going to be, so I'm just going to spoil it now.
Okay.
On week two.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal job by the folks at Remedy. I didn't think that they could top the first one. I thought when I first heard you gushing about Alan Wake 2, I thought it was all smoke and like recency bias and you just being a massive fanboy of the whole Remedy Control, you know, Alan Wake universe, that I thought, this is just Danny being Danny and being a fan.
Agreed.
Hey, man.
But once you dive in, I think it's past chapter two. Chapter one still blows you out. It's just like, this is when it starts. But chapter two is where, for me, it really kicked off. And it just, I'm not going to go into spoilers, but wow, congratulations to Sam and everybody else at Remedy. Alan Wake 2 blew the socks off more than I expected. I thought it was going to be, for me, an honorable mention, but as I continued to play through, I slowly realized that, yeah, this is a legitimate game of the year conversation topic. And, it's fantastic job. Fantastic job.
Awesome. Paris.
It's the same. It's Alan Wake 2. I will leave all the conversation for you because I'm pretty sure I know where you're going to put this. But just love the experience. It's fantastic. Remedy has really, they've nailed it. They've nailed this in the survival horror category, and it was phenomenal. But I'll let you finish that up a little bit later.
Okay.
But Alan Wake 2 will be my number three.
Number three. All right. Number two. Now, the two next games that I'm going to mention is, for me, is because I just love unique games. I just love new experiences, something that I've never seen before. Because, we've seen a lot of games that will come back and do the same thing and over. It's just an upgraded graphics and a little couple features here and there. But I just love new content, new experience. And again, this game reminded me so much of Jet Set Radio, and a couple other old school games that came out during that era of like the Sega Dreamcast. And plus, releasing this out of nowhere that nobody was expecting was a big, huge surprise for me. And that's Hi-Fi Rush. This game has one of the best soundtracks I heard this year. Also, just the experience, the boss battles, it's just funny and fun. And it's very, very unique compared to anything that I played this year, man. And that's my number two, and that's Hi-Fi Rush. Pete, what's in your number two?
Number two for me, Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. I really thought that the shock and awe of Cyberpunk coming out a few years ago was over and done with for me. I thought 2.0 was going to be all smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I jumped in and I continued my playthrough with the, carrying on to the, from the original into, 2.0/Phantom Liberty. And I was like, whoa, okay, they really changed it up. And then I want to say 2/3, maybe a half or somewhere in the middle, I stopped, restarted from scratch and went through from there. And the experience of playing Cyberpunk 2077 with the 2.0 patch and the Phantom Liberty expansion really kicked off. And I think I enjoyed it more so than my first gameplay. my first playthrough. And that's very rare for me. For me, usually I play it once, I'm done, I don't pick it up again. And there's only been one other game, well, two other games that I've done this for. Obviously, first Super Mario Brothers, I've played, you know, play that one all the time. But the second one was BioShock Infinite, right? And so now there's a third person on the Mount Rushmore of Pete's most replayed games, and it's Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. It redelivered that 2017 experience with added flair, added, you know, just the story in and of itself from the first launch was great. I played on PC. I had none of the issues that most people were hit with, and I'm fortunate in that respect. But 2.0 patch, just all the quality of life features, the improvements in vehicle handling, obviously the graphics, because now I'm playing on a much better, you know, GPU, just all the DLSS and ray tracing features just gave a monster experience for me, and I can't say enough for it. So for number two game of the year, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty.
Ooh, and also, Paris, what's your number two?
Super Mario Brothers Wonder. For one simple fact, it is one of the best 2D platformers ever made. I mean, it's really that simple. When you think about the legacy, because you know I've said on the show many years, I consider Super Mario Brothers 3 probably the greatest game, period, not let alone platformer. This builds upon what Super Mario Brothers 3 started, what Mario World, you know, kind of refined, and it's taken it just literally, it's just taken it to the next level. It almost makes you look back at the new Super Mario Brothers series and you go, man, y'all was wasting time. Yeah, y'all could have been doing this a long time ago, right? You know, it's fantastic. It just is, man. From jump when you get into World 1 all the way till you get towards the end, man. And again, in classic Mario platforming lore, it's teaching you along the way so that by the time you get to those later worlds where it gets super hard, I mean, you know what to do. And I love that that challenge is there as well. And they put in, you know, some accessibility features, you know, be able to help some of the younger gamers out there be able to play a game. It's just great. And it looks fantastic on the Switch. It's just, yeah, it's my number two, man. Again, if you are into platformers at all, do yourself a favor and go pick up Super Mario Brothers Wonder. It's that good.
Yep, 100% agree with you, man. 100% agree. All right, so we're going to go with number one. You guys already know what's my number one. It's not even a question, man. So I'm going to go with Alan Wake 2. And the simple fact with this one is just like, I've been waiting for this game for so long, over a decade, 13 years in total, I believe. And just the story is so unique. The performances from all the actors in the voice acting and also on camera, just the experience overall of playing one of the scariest games that I ever played, period, I think. Plus having the elements of switching characters, having the mystery part of it, doing that like all detective work, and also getting into like going to the dark place, seeing where Alan Wake has been now for like the past decade or so. And just everything has just been great. And it's perfect, man. And also, almost bug-free. There was like only one time that the game crashed for me, but overall, it was really, really good on that one. Now, I have to say, there was one mission, one chapter in that game. It has to be one of the best gamer experiences I ever played. You have to play it in order to figure out what I'm talking about, because I just don't want to spoil it. But man, I can't believe they just did that, man. It reminded me kind of this one mission similar to that, with Control, where it was like a song playing and there was like so many things you had to do in the game in order to finish that, complete that mission. It was something similar to that, but it was actually longer. It was like a good 15-minute crazy, crazy experience on that one with Alan Wake 2. So yeah, best Remedy game that I've ever made, best game that I played this year, and I could see this game winning a lot of Game of the Year in multiple outlets, even awards, because it's that good. So Alan Wake 2 is my number one favorite game of this year. Pete, what's your number one?
All right, so for me, and it took me a lot of time to sit down and really try to evaluate what I wanted to vote my favorite game of the year. And surprisingly enough, It's Super Mario Brothers Wonder. It's funny hearing you say it, Danny, because earlier in the year, I actually said the same thing, that this is up there potentially battling Super Mario Brothers 3 for best 2D platforming game of all time. And this game is no surprise. Mario is the king of platforming, hands down. I can't think of anybody else in the space that does it any better than Mario. It's visually refreshing from the moment you pick it up. I showed like a picture of the gameplay to my daughter before she visited, and she was like excited. And then when she got here, she played it. She was like, this is insane. My wife, who usually doesn't, you know, she'll look at the game, but she doesn't play as much as she used to. She was interested and excited about playing it. I love the new Wonder Flower and all of the new effects and things that it does. It keeps the game from being stale in a universe that is basically just flush with Mario games, right? How do you pick? But yeah, loved it from the moment I picked it up. Surprised me from the moment I picked it up to near the end. I might even say it's probably the best co-op Mario I've played.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's damn near perfect, right? It's kind of hard to usurp Super Mario Brothers 3, because that just holds a near and dear place, you know, near and dear spot in everybody's heart. Not just because it was such a great game from beginning to end, but you know, it's got that nostalgic feel. But this is really, really close there. So for me, game of the year, Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Ooh, good, great choice, Pete. Great choice. All right, Paris, what's your number one?
It should be obvious at this point. It's Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. For me, I just thought the first one was almost like the beta test to get to this one, is the way that I look at it, right? Where they improved upon what they started. And you just go do whatever you want, when you want. Like the story that I have with this is the game that I played when I flew over to Budapest to do the stuff for the Xbox showcase. That was my game that I played on the plane ride. Just really just engrossed myself into Hyrule. And like I say, you just do whatever you want, you know, all the different tool building weapons that you could build, like all those ridiculous contraptions that you can do, whatever you could think of, you could do it. I think that was such an innovative thing that they put into that game that made it, for me, stand out from the crowd. Not to mention, again, it's Zelda, the story, the game, like all that stuff without spoiling anything. I just loved it. Just absolutely loved it. And I don't know if you guys got it or not, but getting the Master Sword in that game is so effing fulfilling. It's so satisfying when you finally get the Master Sword in that game. I just loved it. When I think about how great this year has been, all the standout games that have come out, Nintendo is just Nintendoing. They just do their thing. They just make great games, man. Tears of the Kingdom is fantastic. So yeah, that's my game of the year, hands down.
Awesome. Last question for everybody. Was there anything that we worked on, or maybe in an event or just interviews or anything that stood out to you this year that we released, Paris? Was there anything that stood out to you?
Well, I mean, I have one. It wasn't on Gamertag Radio, but when I was on XCast, the Phil Spencer interview.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
I forgot about that.
Without a doubt. Yeah. That is something that will live in my head for a very long time. Because in that moment, I'm like, is this really happening? This is happening. Like, I could not believe it. You know, so that definitely would be one for me. Yeah, I have to say that.
Ooh, yeah, that was a good one too, man. Pete, was there anything to you that anything that we worked on, interview or recorded episodes, anything besides you traveling around the world?
You know, it's really difficult to say, but I don't want to blow up Paris's head up any more than it already is. But Phil Spencer's XCast interview, you and the rest of the guys there did an amazing job on that, truly showcasing the professionalism that all of you have, the effort that you guys put towards this craft. And made me proud to be friends and brothers with you guys, bro.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to have a different answer because, you know, I don't want to repeat. But yeah, that one is a pretty good one, Paris, the Phil interview. You know what? I think sitting down with Ed Boon, Sam Lake, there was a couple this year that I'm like, man, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun recording those interviews with everybody. Also, sitting down with CD Projekt Red, them showing us Phantom Liberty, Cyberpunk, the new look and everything, like for the first time at Summer Game Fest. I'm like, man, that looks so good. You know, things like that, I think has been an amazing year, man, on that. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen next year. You know, next year is GTR's 19th year. And I'll mention this, man. I still love recording the podcast with P and Paris. Has been a really, really great year. I know our schedule has been kind of complicated, but when we when we're all together recording, man, it's just magic. There's nothing that can compare to this, man. Because you know what it is, we know each other. It's just, you know, we love to debate. We don't agree with a lot of things, you know, that all that type of stuff, man. So, and I can't wait for 2024, man. I think it's gonna be a really good positive year. And I hope overall there is no layoffs. I just want to see that in gaming, man, because it's scary being out there, you know, trying to apply to like all the different studios and you get an opportunity and then this happens. You know, that happened with me last year with G4. That was like my dream job, and I know how it is, man, getting laid off like that. You know, it's just I just hope everything is a lot better next year, man. So I think that's about it. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been interesting. I'll just add on to one thing that you were saying. How do I put this? So obviously, we with the pandemic and everything, we couldn't do like events and stuff, and we slowly but surely started ramping back up to that. But this was the year where we kind of just full on, everybody was able to kind of get together again. I would say this year's Summer Game Fest and Xbox Showcase in LA was a pretty special one, just because it felt like everybody was there, right? We got to hang out with everybody. We got to see people. We got to hug it out, except UP, because you was off in the Pocono somewhere. But that was special, because I feel like the last time we had that was 2019. When you think about the amount of time that has passed, mm-hmm. where we're all able to get together and hang out and just collaborate and remind ourselves why we do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I would say, again, on a personal note, you, Danny, you and Rihanna, you're about to have your first child. Seeing that journey here over this year, and you know, it might culminate today, but to see this culminate, to see where that's going, and you know, like, you know, the baby shot, just everything, man, and to just see how, like, I think about, like, with Andrea and Brad and John, like, you know, Greg, like, just James, Lise, just everybody, kind of just. We're all like just one big family, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's been special. It's been good. It's been, I love this stuff. I love that we get to do what we do, and we get to the people that we get to associate with and hang out, and we've gotten to know over the years. And like I said, it's like an extended family now, man. Really is. Matt, again, just off the cuff, the fact you and I going to WrestleMania and, you know, doing that whole thing, and everybody that was there at the WrestleMania thing, and we had the adventures in the car trying to get to the freaking stadium, and just all these kind of things, man. Yeah. These are just happened this year. It's been great.
No,
really been good.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate you and Pete for, you know, giving me advice offline, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. That was very, very helpful. And just getting support from everybody from the community, all those people that you mentioned, Paris, plus more, has been very, very supportive, not only with me, but also Rihanna too, man. And actually, I know you mentioned about WrestleMania. That was actually the time where we found out. It was like around.
No, that's what, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had to keep that like super under down low.
I know, and it was because I remember that, because I knew. but not everyone knew at that time. But then I think all the girls figured it out or something.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen? Yeah.
Because Rihanna and I, we always drink. And they were like, wait a minute. Why she's not drinking?
Yeah, man.
No, but it, just that, man. And just I'm thankful that everybody has been supporting. You know, having Pete on our wedding last year with Allie, you know, that was like super special. And having Paris at our baby shower this year too, it's just been great, man. You know, it's been great. Thank you guys for the support and everything, man.
Anytime.
Yeah. All right. And also thank you to our listeners for listening to us, still engaging online on Discord and everywhere, man. And then thank you for all the support, man. Next year, we're going to come back strong. We got a lot of cool stuff for early next year. We'll see. But everyone,
Shout out to the mods.
Arctic, Tanya, Mandy, shout out to all of you, man, for all the help, man. Not only on Discord, but also in the chat too, man. On Twitch.
And FU Nightbot.
Yeah, Nightbot always beefing. That's it. All right, guys. Until next time, we're out. Have a great holiday season. See you in 2024. We out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.